Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, talking college football. Last segment, joined by college football writer Phil Still. Do not forget the magazine, Phil Still's College Football Preview is out right now on bookstore shelves and also available online. You got to get this if you're a college football fan. I'm telling you, it's the most comprehensive college football preview that you will find. Phil, we talked University of Utah last segment. Now we're going to move over and speak on BYU. Thank you again for hanging with us for one more segment today.
Oh, absolutely.
Phil, let's talk about BYU here for a second. Kalani Sitake took the steps to address last year's disappointing 4-9 record. That was the worst at BYU since 1970. The biggest problem last year for BYU was the fact that the offense averaged just over 17 points per game. This is probably a make-it-or-break-it year for Sitake. What are your expectations for BYU going into 2018?
Much better team, and I think they should be able to make a bowl game this year. Now, I know BYU fans are used to much higher expectations than that. They usually walk into the season thinking double-digit wins are a possibility, but let's take it in steps. Now, last year's team, I will say this. In 2016, in Sitake's first year when they went 9-4, they had my number 4 most experienced team in the country. Now, last year they dropped down to my number 89 most experienced team in the country, and the record dropped. Well, this year they're back up to number 30, and I think the biggest difference is going to be the offense, because last year's offense, I don't feel fit Tanner Mangum, and I didn't like the backup quarterbacks as much, and it really wasn't good on offense the entire season. I think Mangum's a better fit for the Grimes offense. He's got a good set of running backs that are back. They're going to use a running back by committee this year. They don't have one standout guy, but you're going to see a whole bunch of guys used. And then when you look at the rest of the unit, tight end is going to be a focal point of the offense here, and I think that's going to be emphasized throughout the year. Defensively, I've got my number 47 defensive line, number 28 linebackers. Now, when you look at the schedule, they are going to be a clear-cut underdog at Arizona, at Wisconsin, at Washington, at Boise, and even at Utah, a team that they've had a lot of trouble beating in recent years. So they've got a couple of toss-up games early, the Cal game early, the Utah State game early, and don't discount Utah State. It's one of Matt Wells' best teams he's had in a couple of years. If they get those games early, then I think you'll see BYU get to maybe 7 wins in a bowl and play with a lot more confidence. And really the biggest area, they got to get that offense going. You don't win very many games when you're averaging the points they did, and that 17 points per game was helped by 41, 31, and 30 points down the stretch.
Right.
They were feeble in the first half of the year last year.
Well, and I think the defense played well enough to actually win them a couple of games. I'm going to go out on a limb and actually say, Phil, that I felt last year the defense actually put them in position to at least become bowl eligible.
Yeah, and it's not many teams that lose 9 games that only allow 24.7 points per game. You look across the country, that had to be in the top 30, 35 in the country in defense points allowed, 24.7, especially in today's wide-open offensive football where everybody's pushing the tempo.
As far as the quarterbacks go, you mentioned that you didn't really like the backup position last year for BYU, and Tanner Mangum, who I think will have, and there's some questions regarding the injury that he suffered last year, but you have Bo Hodge, you have Joe Critchlow. Are these two kids that you think can at least push Tanner Mangum?
And also watch Zach Wilson, the true frosh. He was in for the spring. I think he's in the mix. He's got good footwork, and he's got a big future ahead of him. So I think he could potentially step in there. Critchlow is a guy who did well in the spring. He had 9-12 for 130 yards and 1 scrimmage. So I think he's picking up the offense. And same with Hodge. I think I saw improvement out of him this year. So I'm much more comfortable with the backup position.
Phil, let's go to the entire landscape of college football. Now, if you don't mind, is it okay if I give the listeners your prediction for the playoffs? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, so you like Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington. That's who you like to reach the college football playoff this year.
That's correct. Really going on a limb there with that Alabama pick, huh?
No, that's okay. I mean, of course they're going to be there in the top 4, right? I mean, but looking at it front to back, Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington, give me a couple of teams that we haven't talked about that could be the wild card to mess up that Final Four prediction that you have.
Well, number one would be Georgia. You know, when you look at Georgia, they may not be quite as good as last year's squad. They go from 10 returning starters on defense to 5. They maybe go from a number 3 defense to a number 15 defense. Still pretty doggone good. They've got DeAndre Swift at running back to fill in for Chubb and Michelle as long as he stays healthy. When you look at Georgia, they'll probably be favored in all 12 games this year. The only game I've got them losing is the SEC championship game to Alabama. And if that happens, the fact they were in the championship game, took it to overtime last year, were undefeated during the regular season, I think that would definitely give them a chance of sneaking into the playoff picture. A couple other teams to look at. I think when you look at the Big Ten, I've got Ohio State in there, but really it's a 5-team race. I can make you a case for Michigan State, Penn State, or even Wisconsin winning the Big Ten this year, and I do think the team that wins the Big Ten will be able to make the playoffs. So those other teams should all be in the race. A couple teams from the Big 12. I left the Big 12 out of the picture because I think it's much like the Pac-12 South. The Big 12 is a wide-open conference. 6 teams have a shot at winning it. The best 2 chances, Oklahoma and Texas. I would put both those out there as teams that could slip into the playoffs. And then I'll give you one outlier. Somebody that's in nobody's top 10. Nobody's talking about as a potential playoff team. It's my number one surprise team in the country. A non-top 10 team I think can make the playoffs, and that's Notre Dame. When I look at Notre Dame, you know, last year they were my number one most improved team. It went from 4 to 10 wins. And in fact, at one point, late in the year, they were number 3 in the country. Well, they lost 2 of their last 4 games, so now they're off the radar. But they've got 9 starters back on defense. Maybe the best defense they had since the last time they appeared in the title game, 2012. And offensively, they got Winbush back despite losing 2 first-round draft picks on the offensive line. They remain solid. They've got good skill personnel. And then look at their schedule. None of their 4 road games are easy. It's Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Northwestern, and USC, but all are in the winnable category. Toughest 3 games are at home, Stanford, Michigan, and Florida State, which they get to play in November. I think Notre Dame's got a shot at running the table this year and being that non-top 10 team that can compete for a playoff spot.
I'm glad you bring up Notre Dame, and you mentioned Brandon Wimbush coming back. To me, there was no doubt that this kid would be the number one quarterback going into the upcoming season. I know he suffered some injuries, battled with injuries all last year, and maybe that had something to do with the inconsistencies late in the game, but I think you hit it right on the head with the defense, Phil. This is a team, based on what they have early on in the schedule, I can see them making some waves, and I still am high on Brandon Wimbush. I really am. I think that this kid is the real deal.
Yeah, you know, in the bowl game when Ian Book took over and led them to the win, you have a lot of folks were speculating it was a possibility Book would just take over the starting job. But Wimbush is a guy who I think showed a lot of improvement in the spring in the pass game. He was mostly more of a running quarterback this past year, but I think he really improved the pass game. He's got capable quarterbacks to throw to, and I think that's going to show up, especially early in the year.
In your opinion, what would that mean for the college football playoff to have a team like Notre Dame, an independent, sneak in? I mean, that could actually be the turning point in eventually turning this into an 8-team playoff, right? If you're leaving out 2 Power 5 conferences out of the college football playoff, maybe even 3 the way things could work out, that could be a big turning point for college football.
Yeah, it definitely would not make the conference commissioners happy because I know last year when 2 of the conferences were left out, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, that was 2 pretty powerful conference commissioners sitting by the sideline. But I like how they reacted. I can tell you if you're a conference commissioner, you're probably rooting against Notre Dame because you don't want them taking one of your spots. But I don't know if it would necessarily flip us to the 8-team playoff, but I can tell you it would make the conference commissioners unhappy.
So, Phil, lastly, before I let you go, the overall landscape of the upcoming 2018 college football season. You like Alabama. We've talked about Clemson, Ohio State, and Washington as being your Final 4. It sounds, at least what I've gathered from you and, of course, in reading the magazine, Alabama seems to be the cream of the crop once again.
Yeah, it looks like it this year. You know, they've got 2 capable quarterbacks in Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. They've got top 10 units across the board. I mean, there might be a unit that slips down at number 20 somewhere, but they're almost all in the top 10. And then you factor in their schedule. This is a team that's going to be a double-digit favorite in every single game this year. Nobody else can say that. Even Clemson, they've got 4 games where they won't be a double-digit favorite when they play Texas A&M, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Boston College, all on the road this year. But Bama will be a double-digit favorite in every game.
Phil Steele, again, college football guru, taking out the time to join us. I don't know how else to refer to you, Phil. I look forward to the magazine being released every year. It's a must-have. I'm going to give you the opportunity once again. Tell the listeners to pick this up and prepare for the college football season, which is about a month and a half away.
Well, I appreciate that, Jordan. Once again, the magazine is out there. It's available right now at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, CVS, Publix, Target, Walgreens, and Walmart. All I ask when you go out to the newsstands, open up a copy. Compare it to every other magazine on that stand. You'll see 3 to 4 times the amount of information. And like I said, we give you 2 full pages on a team like Utah State or Liberty, the same amount of coverage we give you on Alabama and USC, and all the information, same spot, every page, for quick, easy lookup. Plus, you can download it to your iPad or iPhone, your Android device, Kindle, your computer. Just go to philsteele.com. That's STEELE.com. If you go to philsteele.com, you'll be able to find information on how to download it. You can even order the magazine if your bookstores are sold out in the area, and they do sell out so quick. So let's go to philsteele.com. And finally, follow me on Twitter. It's at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042.
Yeah, for those who are into the Twitter, Phil definitely. Definitely a terrific Twitter follow. Phil, I look forward to the conversation every year. Thank you so much again for taking out the time, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Always good talking football with you, Jordan. You have a great summer, my friend.
You too, Phil. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's Phil Steele, college football writer, breaking down quickly in 20 minutes what we can expect as far as the world of college football goes. Again, 56 days away from kickoff. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over to the NBA right here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.